and welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. My name is Beth Shank, a registered nurse from Missoula, Montana, and hosting today's podcast. Today, our guest is Janet Richardson, Professor of Health Service Research at the University of Plymouth, which is in the southwest of England. Janet, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
So tell us about yourself. What is your role in nursing education and research? And then we'll get to your role in environmental health.
Okay, well, as a professor at the University of Plymouth, I work with student nurses and midwives, but also other health professions. And my main role is research and research development, but I also have a role in education. And at the moment, my focus is on sustainability, climate change, and health.
Terrific. So how did you get involved with that?
I guess from my nursing, originally I started off as a nurse in cancer care and was very interested in holistic nursing and complementary therapies, and that led to me taking a psychology degree, and then my PhD was focused on complementary therapies, and that quite naturally led to concerns about the environment. And really looking at how nurses can have a positive impact on healthcare through good public health and health promotion and disease prevention.
So your work with cancer patients led you to a more holistic approach, including complementary medicine, or interventions. And help me then with the next step. You said it led naturally to an interest in environment and the environment's impact on health, which I completely agree with. But let's help tease that out a little bit. Why is that?
Well, I think if you think about the extent of cancer prevention and how many different types of cancers can be prevented through and disease in general prevented through good public health measures and concern for the environment. So, for example, thinking about air pollution. So when you have a toxic environment with air pollution, that's having consequences to health and causing diseases, respiratory diseases, cardiovascular disease. So there's a direct link there between environment and health. But also there's another link with how, as when we're delivering healthcare, we have an impact on the environment. So through our delivery of healthcare, we're actually contributing to some of these problems. We're causing more air pollution in the kind of products that we're using, how we're incinerating them. And then there's a knock-on effect. So we see this almost sort of cyclical problem of we deliver healthcare, we have an impact on the environment. That makes people sick. We then have to treat them for their diseases. And that obviously has another, leads to more impact on the environment. So there's this kind of circular problem where nurses can play a role. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And so therefore you have gotten more interested and involved with sustainable practices in healthcare. Is that what I understand?
That's right. So looking both at mitigation and adaptation, and really my concern is to raise awareness amongst our nursing students and practitioners about the problems of climate change and sustainability and how they can play a major role in both reducing the impact of healthcare on the environment, but also thinking about how they will need to adapt their healthcare and nursing practices to accommodate and plan for some of the impacts of climate change.
And in your work on sustainable healthcare, are you focusing primarily on climate change, or do you also address, as you mentioned earlier, some of the toxics and waste?
Yes, we do both. Mm-hmm. So we look at the health impacts of climate change and integrate some of those issues into our nursing curriculum. So raising awareness about how how climate change is going to impact on health and healthcare delivery, and how nurses can be prepared to deal with those impacts. But we also look at nursing practices, for example, in waste management, and how better waste segregation can lead to reducing the amount of clinical waste that's incinerated, and how we can then help to meet the carbon reduction targets in health.
That's great. And so just let me understand better, because I do similar work, though I'm at a hospital. I'm also at a university, but they're not together. Are you at a practicing hospital or center as well as the university?
No, I'm just based in the university, but all our students are out in practice. So what we try to do is, by raising awareness about some of these issues, we then expect our students to go into practice and see what's going on and try to help make some changes in practice. And what's interesting is, through our teaching, most of the teaching we do around these topics are interactive group sessions. So we have a lot of discussion about these topics, and students will say, "Oh, well, yes, I noticed that. You know, when I go into practice, there's no mechanism for recycling, and you know, why aren't we doing that when we're recycling at home? You know, we recycle in our homes, and we have been doing that for years now. Why isn't it happening in hospitals?" So they start to become more aware. And then we can encourage them to ask questions and sort of challenge practice and really think about how they might be able to be instrumental in making changes in the clinical areas where they work.
So a couple of questions about that. Your teaching methods then are sort of like simulation, it sounds like, where you walk through episodes and think about them, discuss them. In what ways are you measuring your successes there, just because you're a researcher, in terms of your educational interventions?
Yeah, so we started doing this kind of these teaching sessions. Really, it's scenario-based learning. Mm-hmm. And the first scenario that we used actually came out of our research. So we did some research in the southwest of England, in the NHS, looking at waste management practices, but also looking at procurement and looking at the kind of products that were potentially problematic in terms of future sustainable supply. So, for example, those products made from plastic. So we did quite a lot of research around those areas, and then developed some teaching scenarios that we started to deliver with a group of our students. And as we started to deliver those scenario sessions, we evaluated them. So we've now had, we have a number of teaching scenarios now that we've developed, and we've done quite a lot of evaluation, student evaluation. So we've evaluated over 600 students, looking at their knowledge and attitudes, and we found that we've found significant changes in knowledge and attitudes towards sustainability and thinking about sustainability in the curriculum throughout the 4 years or so that we've been doing this.
Terrific! That sounds really great. Have you, I want to follow up another education question, then I want to talk about practice a minute. But in terms of, have you had the opportunity to see what happens after nurses get out into practice, you know, 3 years later or 5 years later? Some of my experience has been that in the first few years, they're overwhelmed with the adjustment to the real world of nursing practice. But then after they've advanced a little bit on that novice to expert scale, they're able to think again about some of these other concerns. So I just wondered if you'd been able to, or what are your thoughts on that, and have you studied that at all?
I think that's a really interesting question, and we've tried to study it in that we try to do a follow-up study of some of our students. So we some of the students that we had evaluated while they were with us in on their education program provided consent for us to follow them up in practice, and we attempted to do that. But had very little feedback from the students. And I think the problems as students move on and they become less engaged with the university, or they may even change jobs and move to another region. So that way of collecting data was problematic for us. What we do have, though, over increase in the last 2 years or so, is we've had through our education, we've got a very engaged group of students. So a small number of students who have become very active in sustainability and in environmental issues, and effectively become champions in practice. And one way that we're kind of keeping in touch with them is through Twitter. So all of our students, for the last 3 years or so, all of our students are involved in Twitter, and it's part of their nursing course, actually. It fits into one of their modules where they're expected to learn about social media, engage with social media, and learn about the ethics and practices, a good practice in engaging in social media. So all our students have Twitter accounts, so I can see how students are engaging. And so, for example, one student who graduated last year and works in one of the local hospitals has set up a garden project. So she's found an area in the hospital where she's involved other colleagues and patients in doing some gardening. So that's one way of following our students. And I think the next bit of research that we really do need to do, and one of the problems we have, is really working with the nurses who are in practice and have been qualified for some time. And we can possibly do that through update mentor updates, but our mentors, the qualified practitioners working in practice who support our students, are probably the ones we need to approach next and try to introduce some sustainability education for them, and then see how they can embed it in practice. So there is, while we've got them as students, we can evaluate what's going on, but there is that gap in what happens when they're in practice, and that's something that we really need to address.
Yeah, that will be super interesting. Are you able to analyze your Twitter responses, or is that a tremendous amount of data, or are there IRB difficulties with doing that?
Well, we have, in fact, we have a paper published on about Twitter engagement, because when we were we have this big European funded project, the NURSOS project, where we developed the NURSOS toolkit, which is a platform of education materials specifically designed for nurses and healthcare practitioners about sustainability and climate change and health. And at the start of that project, a few years ago, we wanted to engage a wider community in finding out what nurses needed to know about sustainability and climate change. And we had a Twitter discussion. So we have in the UK, we have it's We Nurses, and it's a Twitter platform where each week there's a discussion. So someone will host an hour's discussion around a particular topic that's relevant to nurses and other practitioners. So for that 1 hour, there's a focused discussion. So we had a discussion about sustainability, climate change, and nursing education, and we analysed all of that Twitter data. So we had lots of participants, lots of discussion. It was quite frenetic, really.
I bet.
Monitoring all the discussion and trying to respond. But that helped us shape the education materials that we ultimately developed. And we've written that up as a paper, so that's published.
Terrific. Also, let's just back up to the Nurses Toolkit, which I believe for our listeners is NURSUS. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how would people find that?
Well, the website address is www.nursus.eu.
EU, okay.
Nursus.eu, EU for Europe.
Great. And there are different resources on there about nurses and sustainability?
There are lots of teaching and learning resources. We've got probably about 50 different topics, and all the topics are based on evidence around what nurses need to know about climate change and health and sustainability. And we run a Delphi study and have various discussions with people across Europe. And the teaching and learning materials are freely available, so they can be accessed and downloaded and repurposed and made locally relevant. And they're in 6 different languages. So we have materials in English, German, Spanish, French, Dutch, and Polish.
That's terrific. Thank you. As a co-professional nurse, thank you for your work. That's really making a contribution, especially in Europe, but around the world. I'd like to just say 2 things for future collaboration with myself and others here. We have just recently, 2 weeks ago, launched the Nurses Climate and Health Toolkit. Mm. And it is with the goal of reaching 5,000 health professionals this year, hopefully. And so it's a set of materials that are ready to go, ready to launch, particularly aimed at nurses in hospitals in the U.S. Mm. So more to come on that. But there sounds like that there could be some great collaborative ideas there with your work and this effort.
I think that's fantastic. And particularly as those materials are aimed at nurses in hospitals, whereas the Nurses Toolkit was primarily aimed at educators. So they could work very well together, those 2 toolkits.
Great. And then the other thing that we also just launched 2 weeks ago, and we're still in the testing phase, it's a tool to measure where nurses are in terms of attitude, behavior, motivation, sense of urgency, concern, et cetera, about climate change and health particularly. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Climate Health and Nursing Tool, or CHANT, or CHANT. And so we're in the second phase of development right now and getting our first group of responses, about 500 responses. Mm-hmm. After that, we'll revise and we'll need to study it. You know, it's designed for an American audience right now, but I've already spoken with others in other countries about perhaps seeing how much of this tool would work elsewhere or what modifications would be needed, because, you know, there are millions of nurses around the world. And as you say, we are in pivotal positions to make impacts on health and on public health. And it would just be good to be able to take a pulse of where are we over time and watch these trends.
Yes.
So perhaps we could work together on that in the future as well.
That would be great. Yeah.
So I did want to back up, you know, at any time, Janet, just launch on anything else you'd like to say, because I'll have endless questions and I won't take all of your day. But I did want to back up to the point of departure after school and when nurses enter the profession, and or nurses who have been in the profession for a while. So I work with a lot of nurses who are in the profession and new nurses. Who are, you know, they have their routines perhaps, or they have the things that they're working on and overwhelmed by, which is plenty. I mean, it is intense work, we know.
Yeah.
And also I am asking, and others are asking, hey, think about this too, because as you say, we're causing health problems because of the pollution. That's really up to us. Nurses can impact, we can decrease this pollution. We can make better choices. But then it comes to a point of either not knowing how to get around in an organization, or not knowing how to impact change or not feeling empowered or not having the structures ready to go, and therefore they don't have time to create them. And so, you know, there are lots of success stories, and I often talk about the nurses in different places who are doing X, Y, or Z as examples. But I do wonder about what specifically, for instance, when you all talk in your debriefing sessions after your scenario-based learning, what solutions do nurses propose for how they might affect change in their workplace? I'm really interested in sort of digging that out and making that a little bit better available to nurses.
Yeah, that's interesting. One of the things that we find in our sessions and we've found in the evaluation is that because we're working with students is that there's a lack of confidence often, particularly with the second years, and not so much with the third years who are about to move into practice as a qualified nurse have a little bit more confidence. But they talk a lot about the barriers and the difficulties and how they find it difficult to challenge people in practice because, you know, they feel that they're a student and they're still learning and they don't have that confidence. So that's one thing that we try to support them with and try to help them find ways that they can tactfully challenge practice. But simple things like, for example, in a clinical area, there may only be one waste disposal bin, and that bin might be clinical waste, which means that everything in that area, sandwich wrappers, newspapers, go into the clinical waste bin. And that costs more money to dispose of. And it also is damaging to the environment because it's incinerated. So we talk to them about how small changes, like perhaps separating the waste appropriately, would have an impact on the environment and on the finances for the hospital, and how potentially that money could be channeled into direct patient care, more nurses on the ward, for example. And once they start to make those small practical connections, they feel that they're much more confident and able to go back to their area of practice and say, well, why is there only one bin here? Why are we not recycling? What can we do to make these changes? It's also simple things like telling them that each hospital now in the UK must have a sustainability manager. So we say to them, well, why don't you go back to practice and find out who that is? Make a connection with them and find out how you can help that person and how that person can help you work on the ward. So it's really making sort of simple connections with what they can do in practice. What is very clear to them, particularly in one of the sessions we do in the second year, is around the things that they're using in everyday practice that have an impact on the environment, like, you know, lots of plastic, where it comes from, how it's, you know, wasted, where it goes, what happens to it. And just that simple, you know, getting them to think about, for example, use of gloves and how often they use gloves. And do they think about the purpose of using gloves with non-sterile gloves with patients and the potential for the overuse of gloves? So again, just by talking that through means that they can go back into practice and think about, you know, working in a different way. And asking their colleagues in practice, you know, why they're using gloves to make a clean bed, for example, which is something that we found has been happening. And I think it's also that, I mean, we know in, you know, the whole business of nursing rituals. You know, how as nurses we get into rituals about practicing in certain ways and how we need to challenge, think about evidence and why we're doing things in this particular way. And then, how can we make small changes that can have some impact?
That's great. Those are all terrific ideas. And I like the idea of sort of breaking the myths of nursing rituals. We have an exercise that we do in our research program that's just about that. It's just sacred cows. Mm. And we pass out, sacred cows and ask people to bust them, basically, bust the myth. So that could be done with environmental issues as well in practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm also jealous of that. That each hospital in the UK must have a sustainability coordinator. Is that a recent phenomenon, and is that a law? I take it.
It's yes, it is. And also, we are each NHS trust has to meet carbon reduction targets.
Yeah.
So there is an imperative; it has to be done. But we're also fortunate in that we have. A sustainable development unit that is part of the NHS and Public Health England. And they have a very good website. It's if you Google NHS SDU, it's easy to find. They have some really good examples of practical projects that hospitals and community trusts have been involved in. We have every year we have an NHS Sustainability Day where hospitals and community trusts are encouraged to run sustainability projects. There's a sustainability award scheme in the NHS. And I think that's just going through. I think they're just at this time of year just calling for nominations. So it's we're starting to raise the profile and get people really engaged. There's also a green ward competition, and we've integrated that green ward competition into one of our teaching modules. So again, that's integrated into the NurseUS toolkit, into one of the topics in the toolkit, but it's also something that we do with our students. So at Plymouth University, each week we have sustainability embedded throughout the curriculum in each year of the undergraduate three-year programme. And it's all very practically focused. So we have... In the second year, we have something like a lecture about the impacts of healthcare on the environment. And then associated with that is a green ward competition that students do as an activity. In the third year, we've just been teaching the third years in the past few weeks, we have a session that... really links critical incident and major accident planning with climate change and adverse weather conditions. So we talk about flooding, we talk about the physical and mental health impacts of flooding. And in the southwest of England, we've been seeing a lot of adverse weather patterns and significant flooding in the past few years. And it's changing, we're seeing more of it, and we will do with climate change. So we talk about that in the session. And then we talk about how that can lead to more major incidents and needing to deal with that. So how can we plan for that? How can we think about preventing it? And what's the relationship of having to manage these things with our changing climate? So it's all very focused on the practical implications for nursing.
That's terrific, and terrific that it's so consistently applied throughout the entire curriculum. Do you get much pushback? Do you have the same political issues that we have sometimes when we talk about it?
Do you say more about what you mean?
Well, climate change here is in the U.S. is a bit of a political football. Hmm. Not yes. Based on reality or science,
yeah.
But because
yeah.
it's a point of it's a flashpoint. And so sometimes, nursing students come from all walks of life. It's a pretty broad slice of the American population, and And once they start to understand actually the science behind it, and particularly the health impacts, you know, my experience is they are less dismissive of it. But at first, sometimes they think, no, I don't have to worry about that. It's not real. I think that's a minority, but still, it's something here that we are prepared for more or less when we talk about it. I just wondered if you experienced that as well.
Yes, and I think a few years ago, it's probably about maybe about six years ago, we started to introduce some aspects of climate change into the curriculum, and I think, you know, we started to talk about the changing climate and melting ice caps and that sort of thing, and that really didn't work. And the same with colleagues. I mean, a lot of my colleagues needed convincing, and you know, some still do, but that was a problem. But what we found was that by making it much more practical, and by developing the scenario-based learning approach and really bringing it down to what they're doing in practice and what the links are, that has made a huge difference. So, which is why, instead of having and this is a consequence of trial and error and discussion with colleagues, but also full engagement with students and getting feedback from students about how we're teaching this, is why we haven't got a specific course or module on climate change and health or sustainability. We've specifically threaded it through the curriculum. So when they're learning, when the students are learning about clinical skills, they're learning about sustainability, they're learning about how to manage waste, and it's part of their assessment. So when they're doing their clinical skills assessment, how they dispose of the waste is part of the assessment. Likewise with the session I described about you know, talking about flooding and critical incidents, major incidents, that's in the context of emergency care. So it's all about making it really relevant, and that helps, because they see it not as something separate and about polar bears, but it's actually about how they're really managing things. When we talk about health promotion, you know, we're talking about the fact that in the southwest we get the most sunshine in the UK, and if we've got a change in climate and we've got, you know, it's getting hotter, we're going to have more sunshine. Well, you know, we also have the highest incidence of melanoma. So, you know, we're making those links. We're thinking about, you know, tick-borne disease, for example, which is increasing in this area, you know, climate change. So we integrate that into our sessions on infectious diseases. So it's all about sort of finding the threads, really.
That's terrific. I had another question for you, and then we'll wrap up soon because I know I've taken a lot of your time. And it's just back to that role of the sustainability manager coordinator. Have you found that nurses would make ideal sustainability managers? I say that because I'm getting to know the nurses in the U.S. who are doing this work, and there aren't that many. However, I feel like those who are just particularly well positioned to translate between facilities folks and pharmacy folks and healthcare providers and finance people, because nurses so often are translators and they can really, really explain the health to non-health people and explain the technical stuff to health people. Is that a growing a role for nursing, would you say, in the UK?
I really agree with that. What we find is that that role is more often occupied by someone from estates. So it's estates management. So they're responsible for the energy use in the hospital and the waste, and often their idea of trying to encourage people to more effectively, or practitioners to more effectively segregate waste, might be just sticking up a few posters here and there. And I think that is a fantastic role for nurses, because, as you say, that, you know, we are great communicators and great, really good at linking and making connections and thinking laterally and engaging different disciplines. So I think that would be a fantastic role for nurses, and also would reflect the fact that that sustainability isn't just about how you manage energy, the energy of a hospital. It's about so much more than that. It's about health promotion. You know, we have in public health in the UK, we have something called Every Contact Counts. And it's a way of you know, every contact with a patient or a relative has the potential for a wider health promotion, and we can include sustainability and climate change in that. You know, we can introduce a whole range of other things into our working with patients that's, you know, that raises awareness about these issues.
That's terrific, and again, so well said. Well, I really appreciate your time today, Janet. This has been super interesting. I'm already have a whole lot of educators in mind that I'm going to make sure they hear this podcast, because I think you've just presented such great ideas, and, you know, obviously your experience is well founded and well documented. So I look forward to reading some of your papers as well. I've read a little bit, and I've seen a video, I believe, one of your scenario based educations. So thank you again. Is there anything that you'd like to say to nurses in the world or to human beings in the world?
Well, I think certainly for those nurse educators, if you think of the number of students who you have the potential to influence, you know, there's enormous possibilities there with our student population, and you'll find that many of them will become really enthusiastic champions. So yeah, you know, just influence students as much as possible.
That's great. And once again, thank you so much for your work and also for your time today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yes. And those of you listening, thank you for listening to another episode of the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. Check us out in the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments at Environ, that's ENVIRN.org. And please leave a review for this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks very much, and talk to you next time.